This is CNT Talk. Every week, two friends debate the issues of the ages as we agree to disagree. It's never politically correct, but it's always entertaining. Join us tonight so you can sound knowledgeable at work tomorrow. We're smacking you upside the head with the hammer of truth. Welcome to the show. Hello, hello, and welcome to our lovely show. Tony, I got another subscriber tonight. I talked to somebody and they subscribed. I saw them do it.
Excellent.
So we're up to five,
or
six,
something like that. Our goal to conquer the world will soon be.
So we're much, much closer to where we hope to be in the near future.
National syndication awaits.
Yes, yes, yes. I want to start the show tonight, and I know it's summer, and most people don't use their brains as much in the summer as they do the rest of the year, especially students. But I want to go through the 10-question citizenship test.
There's only 10?
It seems odd that there was only
10.
Now, to be a naturalized citizen, you have to take 100 questions.
Right, that's okay. That's the one that I remembered.
This is, this is part of it. This is 6 of 10. You have to get 6 out of 10 right on this.
There's 57 states.
No, there are not. I wish that was one of the questions, but no, that is not one of the questions.
That's not right?
That is not one of the questions, no. But if you do think there are 57 states, you are not a U.S. citizen or should not be, and should be revoked if you already are.
Oh, now don't say that.
We're going to get into that. So I'm going to go through them. See if you can pass the citizenship test. What is the name of the Speaker of the House of Representatives right now? Now, it's multiple choice, so you got a couple choices. Jared Kushner.
Come on.
Ben Carson. Sean Spicer. Or Paul D. Ryan.
I would say D, Paul Ryan.
Yeah, go with Paul Ryan because they already put the middle initial in. Which state was not one of the original 13?
Oh, I might get this wrong. Let's see.
Massachusetts. New Hampshire. Vermont or Rhode Island. A lot of New England in there. Pick which insignificant New England state.
Vermont.
That is correct. That's a tough one. You're like.
Well, I was going through the in my head. I was pretty sure about that, but okay.
Okay. Who is the, quote, father of our country?
George Washington.
Didn't even have to give you James Madison, Benjamin Franklin, or Alexander Hamilton. You got George Washington off the top. Who wrote the Declaration of Independence? George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Alexander Hamilton, or John Trumbull?
I was going to go with John Trumbull, but I think we'll go with TJ.
TJ? Yeah. Okay, okay. Good answer. Who is the commander-in-chief of the military? Now, let me read them all first.
Okay, the president.
Secretary.
Okay, go next.
Secretary of Homeland Security, Secretary of Defense, Secretary of Veterans Affairs, or the president.
Right.
You are correct. How many amendments did the Constitution have? 20, 50, 47, or 27.
How many amendments does it currently have?
Currently, as it exists today, how many have been approved and are amended to the Constitution?
27.
That is correct. Very good. Who is the Chief Justice of the United States now?
John Roberts. Next.
Don't want John J., John Marshall, John Rutledge. Yeah. How many voting members does the House of Representatives have? 435, 240, 150, or 300?
435.
Who was president during World War I? Harding, FDR, TR, or Woodrow Wilson?
Woodrow.
Name one of the states that borders Mexico. There are four choices. Louisiana, Arkansas, California, or Nevada?
What's the list again?
Louisiana, Arkansas, California, and Nevada. Borders Mexico.
Louisiana.
No.
It's California, right?
California and Nevada both do.
I didn't think Nevada did.
Just a little piece there.
Terrible. Terrible. I got my geography
wrong. You got 9 out of 10. You would be a U.S. citizen.
Oh, man. So. I'm annoyed that I got that one wrong.
That was just a little aside. If your brain was unengaged, it should be now. So that moves us on to sanctuary cities. There are 20 of them listed in this article I read. 20 cities who say by 2020, they want to add 1 million new citizens to the roster.
Now, sounds reasonable.
These are sanctuary cities. They want to make these people U.S. citizens. Now, that's not legal because
of course not.
Obviously,
but
can't
wait a
do that.
Well, why does it ever stop them before?
Well, and here's the rub. So, these cities want to make them citizens of their state, which in turn would make them citizens of the United States because you can't be a citizen of a state without being a citizen of the United States. What do you think about that? I know what I think about that.
Come on. You know, I guess they should get credit for being creative. I mean, they're going to be lawless anyway, so let's just have more lawlessness. We'll just make our own path to citizenship.
Well, yeah, that's what I was reading. I'm like, That doesn't make any sense to me.
I mean, listen, California is already involved in negotiating their own environmental accord since the evil president, you know, won't go along with Paris. So we're just going to do it ourselves.
These cities seem to think they're autonomous unto themselves. Yes. They can do whatever they feel like, and it's no repercussions. I would agree with you, but I thought I had to look up to make sure. I'm like, I know that U.S. citizenship comes from the federal government, not from the state governments or even the city governments. But what's their route? How are they getting around this?
Think about this. Think about this from the perspective of someone who is a hardcore progressive. They don't think the Constitution has anything to do with how laws or policies should be implemented. They don't think that's any impediment to their social justice aims.
Sure.
So why would they feel constrained by something as silly as, well, wait a minute, you can't actually... Of course they can. They can do whatever they want.
Right.
Because as long as you have a hashtag campaign for it, it's good enough.
As long as it feels good, you should do it.
Absolutely.
Know, that's the philosophy.
Look, even in Pennsylvania where we live, you have these municipalities...
Well, Pittsburgh is one of them.
Right.
One of the sanctuary cities.
But not only that, on the issue of guns, right? Pennsylvania mm-hmm. has a statute that basically says, as a local government entity, you cannot regulate firearms. That is for the state legislature. Mm-hmm. Did that stop them from passing all sorts of laws that say, well, you can't carry because it's unsafe? And of course, the analysis for these people is, well, if we can make it safer, why can't we do this? And of course, the answer is because the Constitution and the state law prohibits you from doing that, which to them is just a non sequitur. Like, well, what does that mean?
Well, it's interesting you bring the gun laws up, because in the state you can, if you have a license to carry a concealed firearm, you can. But then you see signs all over the place, you cannot bring a weapon in here. But you can't make that determination. If it's a public building, you can't make that determination. But government buildings are excluded from that.
Yeah.
For some reason.
It's sort of like the old feudal time when this is our own little kingdom, mm-hmm. and we're all a bunch of earls and dukes, and we just get to decide what the vassals do. And who really cares what some faraway capital, these people that go there and make laws, what does that have to do with us?
Yes,
we're trying to make things safer. So why should there be any obstacle to that, Chad?
Well, there should be an obstacle in that. But that, because my uncle will carry his weapon with him wherever he goes, regardless of what the sign says, because he knows he's legally permitted in the state. I've heard of people getting arrested, but it's by local cops, not by state police, for the same thing, carrying. Interesting. I'm not looking forward to a million, and I know why they want to add these million.
Why?
Well, gee, I'm sure it's about votes, and I'm sure it's about Democratic votes and progressive votes, and we gave you something, so you should want to vote for us.
When they come over, they present them with all the literature from both sides, and they encourage them to explore the various parties.
Oh, yeah.
It's a very even-handed, we don't really want you to vote for any particular party. This is all about allowing these people to have a better life, Chad. That's all they
want.
And you are opposed to this.
Well, it's funny, because Bill Gates came out yesterday.
Bill's going to get some flack.
So if you haven't heard, Bill Gates, you know, the philanthropist.
Quintessential man of the left, yes, philanthropic.
But he said, unlimited immigration to Europe is going to destroy Europe. That's right. Bill Gates.
Wait a minute.
Microsoft guy, Bill Gates.
Are you telling me that Bill Gates is a nativist, mouth-breathing... It sounds like he's an Islamophobe, Chad.
It sounds to me like he might actually know what he's talking about, because we've been saying that forever.
No. When you say things like that, you are an Islamophobe. We already know this.
Maybe you're an Islamophobe, but you're also right. Yeah. You can't have unchecked immigration and still have a functioning system.
Actually, my estimation of Bill Gates has now gone up significantly.
Agreed. I don't want to use Windows.
But by the way, guaranteed there will be some mealy-mouthed Soviet-style apology that will soon be issued when he receives all of his pushback from the Jacobins who tell him, you have deviated from the scriptures.
You may not speak of this again.
Right.
Do not say this in public again.
Now, the thing is, it's interesting because Bill is so big that you can't really take him down. Like, he may be a guy that's almost impervious to this sort of, you know, pressure.
How do you stop the man who's trying to cure all this disease?
Doesn't matter.
And he doesn't need your money, so it's not about the money.
Well, what's fascinating right now in the sort of culture that we're in is that increasingly, the people that are getting attacked by the mini Maoists, as I call them, who are all over social media, are people of the left who have the resume, a perfect resume, perfect check every box, but even if they deviate in the least little bit from the approved hive mind agreed upon scriptures, they're getting attacked. And then these people don't really know what to do because they're used to being, you know, back slaps and applause and isn't this fantastic? We're the ones that care about children. We care about people dying. They don't care. But these people, see, that's the thing. They eat their own.
Oh, yeah.
They move on to the next, oh, wait a minute. We don't care about your social justice history and your philanthropy and all of your correct positions. You say one thing out of line, and this is clearly out of line.
Oh, way out of line.
You are dead to us,
see,
man.
Here's what I think's happening. I'm going to go Glenn Beck conspiracy theory here on this. He's afraid if too many people from the third world get into the first world, they're not going to need his malaria help. And they're not going to need him. So he diminishes in need. Therefore, he has to keep them in the malaria-infested swamps in which they currently reside so that he can keep looking like the good guy. You watch.
Speaking of malaria, I had an interesting conversation with my wife the other day because...
And malaria came up?
Well, no. I forget what we were talking about. I think it was more along the lines of sort of these good intentions and this notion that... I got to talking about DDT. I know what happened. We were talking about pesticides in food.
And you were in favor of them.
Yes, I was. We were talking about the fact that you can spray these things and they're still safe.
Right.
She differs with that and says, well, there's still got to be something. And you know what? Listen, not everything is good for you, obviously.
Sure.
But nevertheless, one of the most famous examples of progressive good intentions going completely wrong. Mm-hmm. And in fact, one of the great scandals, honestly, of the last 30 years was Rachel Carson, Silent Spring. And we've talked about this, I think, before.
Mm-hmm.
This idea that, oh, DDT, we have to ban it. It's killing it's thinning out the bird eggshells or whatever else. And of course, as a result, you know what happened. Tell the audience what happened by virtue of eliminating DDT in the third world.
You got rid of the predators for the mosquitoes.
Yes.
The mosquitoes population has swollen to malaria.
And millions, this is not an exaggeration, millions of people died because of some first world do-gooder who decided, based on no science. In fact, again, this was a quintessential anti-science campaign because there was even court opinions from that time saying, we've reviewed the scientific literature and all the testing. There is no evidence that DDT does any of these things.
No.
They didn't care because leave us the birds and the bees, please, right?
Yes.
Isn't that the song?
We hear about all the bees.
Right.
The bees are disappearing. That means the world's going to end or
so
something.
So it's
like
a bad, evil, chemical thing.
Uh-huh.
And meanwhile, you've consigned millions of people to die because you decided you didn't like this icky pesticide.
Yeah.
Whoops. So sorry. Where do we send the condolence card?
Oops. My bad. Yeah, we don't want to be part of that. Yeah, you've noticed there's a lot more mosquitoes in the last 10 or 12 years than we ever had before.
Must be global warming.
Probably.
And also because Donald Trump pulled out of the Paris Accord, so that's immediately skyrocketing.
That hadn't actually taken effect, but sure, that's probably what it was. Let's move on to one of our favorite punching bags, Rahm Emanuel. He is the mayor of Chicago, if you forgot, you know, Murder City. Pretty familiar with that.
I think we should start calling it the City of Peace.
Big shoulders?
Yes.
Yes, yes. Big shoulders to ram you down and kill you with. Anyway, Mayor Rahm, as he's really been concerned about the post-high school career of his students in Chicago public schools, he's now put out a policy, and this came back in April, but this is just now affecting some kids. Chicago won't allow high school students to graduate without a plan for the future, meaning they must have a letter for acceptance letter for college, junior college, trade school, vocational school, military, or an actual job post-high school, or they will not get their diploma. Now, on the surface, it sounds like he's trying to do something good, but there's got to be an ulterior motive here. There has to be. It's Rahm Emanuel. Never let a crisis go to waste that you couldn't do to your best benefit. What do you think the ulterior motive is here? Is he really care about the students, or is he really trying to do something for himself?
Well, first of all, I don't really know what the ulterior motive is, but let's sort of think this through. Now, Chicago, like many of our major urban centers, has disastrously failing public schools.
Yes, it does.
Gang-infested,
yes,
drug-infested, violent, Just, I can't even imagine being a parent that would have to send your children to most of these places. Mm-hmm. It's like sending them off to Attica, frankly.
Yeah.
Which is again one of the There's so many issues that relate to this, which is also presumably why Rahm vociferously opposes things like vouchers.
Yes.
Because
yes,
we're going to demand that you demonstrate a career path, but we will not allow you to escape the cesspit that you are trapped in, because, of course, that would upset the teachers' union. So please stay in your hellhole of a failing public school in Chicago. And by the way, the next part of this is the students, the incredibly persevering students who managed to somehow achieve in this environment, and they exist, mm-hmm. and they... It's honestly, they deserve all of the plaudits you could possibly sure. give, because I don't think you can imagine what it would be like to try to attend some of these schools no. in inner city Chicago or Philadelphia or New York. New York or yeah. Oakland and go on and on. They're already going to have a career plan. But does he really think that the budding entrepreneurial gangbangers, who first of all are going to drop out of school in ninth grade or 10th grade or 8th grade, does he think they care no. that they're not getting a diploma?
I don't think it solves the problem of poor graduation rates. All it does is make the people who actually wanted to get through harder for them to get that diploma.
Well, I don't think it makes it harder, because if they're actually going to get through, they're going to get a diploma. Well,
then here's this. Who's going to pay for this secondary education that you require them to have a letter of acceptance for that they can't afford? How's that working? How's that happen?
Well, it's free.
Well, it's free. Well,
everyone, it's a right. Haven't you learned this by now? So, I mean, the entire
So this is just the first. We say you have to have this to get your diploma.
Sure.
So we're going to now say you have to pay for it. So
I mean,
we're going to pay for it for you.
Isn't that the way it works?
Well,
we decide.
There's your ulterior motive.
We make something, a new thing, a right. Well, and since we've given you this little special requirement in order to get this piece of paper, we have to subsidize the thing
there you go.
That's going to allow you to do this.
Ulterior
and
motive.
Chad, who could be against wanting children to graduate from school? Are you opposed to children graduating from school, Chad?
I am not.
So then you obviously support this initiative, because if you don't, you want children to die.
Well, it's so facto, it's not the same, yes.
Yeah, just like the people that support the Senate health care bill, you want children to die.
That's
if you
exactly
disagree
what I want, yes.
with any progressive policy, uh-huh. you want fill in the blank group
to
of
die.
People to die.
Yes. 20 million people will not have insurance, and they will all die.
Right.
No, they didn't have insurance before.
All policy disagreements immediately yield death.
Well.
If you don't adhere to the agenda, it's not simply we disagree on means, we disagree on the manner in which things are being funded. No, if you don't agree with education policy, energy policy, healthcare policy, foreign policy, environmental policy, you are a genocidal kook who wants people to die. So both you and I want many, many people to die. And I, you know, I struggle to sleep at night knowing this about myself, but I take a lot of NyQuil and I get through it. But the guilt is becoming overwhelming.
It is for you. Folks, if you're not familiar, Tony's being very sarcastic here. I want everybody listening who doesn't know Tony personally, very sarcastic.
I think they probably have picked that up.
Well,
on
for new listeners, like the gentleman right. who signed up this evening, he's very sarcastic. He doesn't really want children to die, but he thinks it's foolish that everything causes people to die simply because you don't agree with their policy.
Right.
I was going to play a clip about that, but I just couldn't stand to listen
no,
to Rahm Emanuel.
No, I don't
speak.
Think we need to subject anyone to that.
So let's move on. Over the weekend, North Korea had a little party. Let me show you in what that's about.
The missile reached 1,700 miles high, landing in the water 577 miles to the east in the Sea of Japan, angering the Japanese. Experts believe such a missile might be able to reach Alaska. North Korea's military calling this the, quote, final step in creating a confident and powerful nuclear state that can okay. strike anywhere on Earth.
So, if you didn't catch that, North Korea launched a ICBM.
Yes.
That went 1,700 miles up.
Right.
And 533 miles out. I'm not sure why, other than to say they could. And again, 1,700 miles is really, really far from off the Earth's surface.
So yes.
It seems like a strange decision to do that. They showed pictures of the partying leader, Kim Jong-un. They show all the flunkies throwing their hats in the air like it was graduation.
Well, if you don't
day.
Throw your hat in the air, you get shot.
Sure, I get that. The news organization reading it was over the moon, and the people in the crowds with the guns on them were also cheering.
I like
loudly.
How they said it was going to make them a confident. Well, I never really heard that before, that description of we are now a confident, what was the second adjective?
Nuclear power.
Powerful, full of self-esteem, something like that?
Yeah, well, if we use enough adjectives, it probably glosses over that. Now, they did a graph, and, you know, using that mileage, they could hit Anchorage with that. They could hit a lot of the South Pacific. Is this a concern?
Well, it's a concern because the guy's a madman. Now, here's the thing, and I'm not, neither of us are weapons experts, but there's far more to actually launching and then detonating an ICBM.
Yes. This does not have a nuclear weapon on it.
Involving payload. Right. There's a whole host of about seven other obstacles that it's not very clear that they can overcome. But listen, they're going to continue these provocations. That this is what they're doing.
Yeah, well, I think it was a big firecracker they launched for our Independence Day celebration. I think that's what they're trying to show us. I am concerned, and insofar as we've gotten to this point. Something hasn't stopped them up to this point. And I was reading some the other day. They said the last three presidencies, which were Clinton, Bush, Obama, did nothing to stop this progression to get to this point. Under the previous regime in Korea, in North Korea. So we're only progressing. It might be too late now to stop this completely. Can we retard its progress? Maybe, but can we stop it? It seems unlikely, and I don't know if Donald Trump is the right person to wave the flag. He has tried to get China to step in, and China has not done so.
Yeah.
And I think that was a valid point, because China, you know, North Korea supports
China.
It's their
sphere of influence.
Pretty much. I mean, without China's money, there is no North Korea. So it seems odd that China couldn't put a burden on this to stop it, but they haven't done so to this point.
There is no easy answer to this.
No, there isn't.
This is, again, one of the reasons among many why, for instance, the capitulation by the Obama administration to Iran. Mm. See, the dynamic, everything strategically changes the minute a country has nuclear weapons.
Yes.
Because your options then are so limited in terms of what you're going to do. And so now this is the situation we have with North Korea.
Mm-hmm.
They're a nuclearized country.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do with Crazy Man as he keeps lobbing up their ICBMs for their next test? And again, mm-hmm. I have no reason to believe that they have the ability to effectively launch, you know, a nuclear weapon, mm-hmm. but that's obviously what they're posturing as.
Sure.
That's obviously what they're trying to develop. And whether they do it in a year or 3 years or 6 years, sooner or later, it's going to become a real problem.
Mm-hmm.
And there are no good options to deal with this.
Let's say they never actually, Kim Jong-un comes out and says, you know what? I like the West. I've been wrong about you all this time, but I need to make a buck. I'm going to sell this technology to places that don't currently have it, you know, Afghanistan or Pakistan. Pakistan has it. So, you know, some place that doesn't have it that really wants it. Iran, hey, we got your nuclear missile here. We got the missile guidance. You got the nuclear weapon. Put them together and do what you want to do. How long is that going to take? We worry about India because they have it. Pakistan has it. And that's why people don't realize those two countries are very important to our sphere of influence. China has it. Russia has it. We have it. Israel has it.
Germany.
They're in Germany, but Germany doesn't have it.
Well, right.
England has it, but it's not really theirs. But the reality is, that's why you treat these people differently, because it can get out of control. And I think while the Cold War was somebody could push the button at any time, I think at least even on the Soviet side, there was at least people realize, if I push this button, we die too. I don't think North Korea cares. I don't think Iran cares.
No.
As long as they take you with them, they're good. And I think that's the difference. You got madmen with a button, and it makes it a whole lot different scenario.
Well, this gets back to something, and you may disagree with this, but I've never really understood the policy prohibition that we have against assassinating someone like Kim Jong-un.
From a moral standpoint or from a political standpoint?
From both. For instance, someone needs to explain to me, okay, we drone strike someone happily, like Osama bin Laden. Oh, we didn't drone strike him, but we took him out. But we would have been happy to do it that way as well. Kim Jong-un is a madman.
Mm-hmm.
He's a totalitarian tyrant. The man is, I don't distinguish him at all between him and al-Baghdadi. Mm-hmm. Name, you know, Pol Pot, whoever you want to pick.
Yeah.
Why don't we just eliminate him? Now, that doesn't solve... Listen, I'm not saying that's the magic bullet. There's obviously another wacko waiting in the wings. And, of course, the only pushback you get is, well, we can't have that as a policy because we can't have the United States going around assassinating... Well, wait a minute. I think we have the ability to distinguish between legitimate leaders and a guy like this. I would put Saddam Hussein in the same category. Mm-hmm. And see, this is where you get the moral equivalence crowd that says, who are we? Well, you know what? Actually, we do. We are somebody that does get to dictate those things because despite our faults, despite all the things that, yes, in our history that we have done that we shouldn't be proud of, we are a free democracy. Mm-hmm. We don't have political prisoners. We don't murder our own citizens. We don't have gulags. We don't have people under essentially the same regime that existed in 1930s Germany. People want to use that? That's what's going on in North Korea.
I agree.
Did we have any qualms about killing Hitler? No. Why should we have any qualms about officially sending SEAL team whatever over there to dispatch this guy?
I think the... How do I say it? So during the 18th century in war, it was gauche to shoot the officers. It was okay to shoot. If you accidentally hit an officer, you hit an officer. But you were only to shoot at the rank and file. And then we changed that. As time went on, you go, well, if I take out the officer, the men start to, you know, get on their own and we can take them out easier. So we kind of changed that policy. I think the fear is if we advocate publicly that we're going to assassinate a foreign leader, even a crazy foreign leader that we're not at war with, that opens up the gates to say, okay, now I can be assassinated, Trump or whoever succeeds
Trump.
Well,
okay, I have two responses to that. Number one, we're not going to publicly say, hey, by the way, we're coming.
Well, do you believe the CIA is not trying to do those things? I think they are. I think they were in the 60s.
I don't know. Actually, I don't think we are trying to do that right now. I don't think we are. Because if we actually were trying, he would be dead.
But we tried against Castro numerous times and couldn't seem to pull that off for some odd reason that we could fathom.
I don't fully understand that either. But if we wanted him gone, he would be gone. And I guess my response to the argument that, well, then other people are going to do it to us, they're already trying.
True.
The people that want Donald Trump dead, the bad actors in the world, they're already trying to do their worst. So, again, this gets back to the idea that somehow everything is on the same moral plane.
Yeah.
The same argument that people trot out and say, well, why should the U.S. get to decide who has nuclear weapons? We have nuclear weapons. Why shouldn't any crazy, wacko, banana republic leader have them? Well, because that's why.
Ends the world.
Because they're not us.
Right.
Because we could have destroyed the world 500 times over, and despite all the people in the streets with their placards about, you know, nuclear Armageddon, we've decided not to do that.
So benevolent dictatorship versus
yes, and if we can't make those kind of moral distinctions, that's then fair. What's the point of making any moral distinctions?
I don't know that I want to be in the business of saying I'm assassinating leaders, but I know that's a Pollyanna version of saying that. I mean, the tough decisions have to be made by tough people who carry those out.
How many other people, and here's the other thing, you obviously still have to consider the geopolitical reality.
Sure.
Okay? So Vladimir Putin, our enemy. Are we going to go assassinate Vladimir Putin? No, because there are so many other incredibly bad dominoes that would fall from
that. I think getting rid of Kim Jong-un, you get China on against us. That's not a good policy
maybe,
right now.
Maybe not. I don't know. Does China really want Kim Jong-un? I think China doesn't want to do anything.
Yeah.
Because they find it to be in their interest to have sort of this unstable situation,
sure.
And they don't want to commit resources to removing this guy. But do you really – they would probably saber rattle like it was an issue for them. Do you really think they would care if he was out of there?
I think if he died what looked appear like natural causes, no. If it looked like we did it, I think to save face in that region, they would have to do something. Sanctions, you know, international sanctions or some, not international, but monetary sanctions, which right now would be devastating to us. I don't know. I don't have a right answer for that, but I feel like the CIA should be working on that for all leaders.
Well, they're very busy right now investigating, you know, whether Donald Trump had something to do with Chernobyl.
Yeah, well, I'm sure he did not, as far as I know.
How do you know, Chad?
It's 1986.
I think Mueller should look into that. Where was he?
Where was he? Where was he in April of 1986?
He may have been vacationing very close by.
He may have been.
Yes.
I don't know the answer for that question. I don't know that I think the general public would not be happy if it was publicly announced, but I think behind closed doors, I think those things are happening. You're right. What's the difference between Obama or Bin Laden or UN? I mean, one's ahead of a state, an actual recognized state, and one's ahead of a terrorist organization, but they're both crazy men.
Yeah.
Does it change the outcome? Probably not. You know, but why didn't we get rid of Idi Amin?
Well, that gets down to resources, and again,
I mean, he kidnapped people.
Right. So it's not about every bad person in the world. Because no. We don't have enough time to do that. Is Idi Amin a guy?
He's dead now, but
in
yes.
In our geopolitical interest, that it was worth getting rid of him.
Not for us, no.
I don't think so.
No.
But so if we determine that it's in our national security interest to remove this guy, I just don't really understand this alleged moral quandary when we are more than willing to target other people well within the range of what this guy is.
Sure.
I don't even consider him to be a legitimate actor within the norms of war.
Sure.
They haven't declared war, but this guy would happily, you know, he's the same thing as Assad. He would use chemical weapons. He would use barrel bombs. He murders his own people. So to me, even things like the Geneva Conventions don't even apply to this guy.
Fair enough. I think it's a fair point to say just because he's got a certain title does not make him immune. And if we're willing to do it for others, then why not for the bad actors out there? I don't know. That's a good question. You wanted to talk about CNN and their...
Oh, yes. A few little catch-all topics. So I assume that most people have been following CNN...
Fake news.
Right. The network that now Donald Trump is living, you know, more than rent-free in their head. And what recently happened is, if you remember, that caused all of this outrage and consternation, the daily outrage and consternation, because Donald Trump, I guess, tweeted out, is it a GIF? Is that how you pronounce it?
Some people say GIF, some people say GIF, right, but okay. It's the same thing.
Yes, a GIF. And what it showed was back during Donald Trump's WWE pro wrestling days, which of course, you know, his political opponent.
Because you all remember that, I'm sure.
No, but and so he's in the ring, and what they did is they superimposed on the guy that he was like clotheslining the CNN logo.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Q just complete apocalyptic head explosions by the poor souls over at CNN because the president was inciting violence against Wolf Blitzer, right? So
against the logo
of a multi-billion dollar media company, but yes. This was a very awful and dangerous thing that Donald did. And you know, Brian Stetler, who's constantly every day he's rending his garments mm-hmm. over something that Trump and Hitler has done.
So awful. It's so,
so
awful.
CNN, now this is unbelievable. So CNN, again, multi-billion dollar media company, is so alarmed and so oppressed and so threatened by this horrible tweet that Donald Trump has sent out, they took it upon themselves to investigate who the nefarious individual was, the American citizen who created this GIF. This
Han Solo a-hole.
Yes. Now, I've also heard today that they may have actually gotten the wrong guy. But
correct.
Nevertheless, they then issued this incredible Soviet-style announcement that basically said, CNN has discovered the identity of the evil minion who has done this to us. And because we are so magnanimous and big-hearted and professional, we are not going to right now disclose his identity to America and ruin him. However, if he should engage in this sort of awful behavior in the future, read... doing anything that CNN doesn't like,
which is everything,
we reserve the right to ruin his life. Can you believe that?
That's a little heavy-handed, I would say. Just a tad.
Now, these are the same people who are squalling about the 30 days of night that have fallen under Donald Trump and censorship. Again, this is multi-billion dollar media conglomerate versus American citizen. And what they're basically saying is, we're not going to ruin your life now, but make sure there's no more bad think emanating from your Twitter feed, because if you do,
yes,
it's unbelievable.
They do not realize that you can just change your Twitter name. So, okay, or to start a new account, maybe, and do the same thing, and it's a different person. You're going to be magnanimous then?
Should media organizations, Chad, be in the business threatening? And make no mistake. In fact, one of the things that they said was, well, he's now apologized. As if it's like he was in front of some East German tribunal.
He was. He probably was in Atlanta.
Do you apologize for your evil deeds? Yes, yes, please. It's incredible. The entire thing is so Orwellian. CNN is auguring into the earth.
Yes.
And they think that Donald Trump is an idiot, and yet he, in the space of the last month, has literally cratered their reputation to the point that it is now unrecoverable.
Well, see, I thought you wanted to talk about the Project Veritas thing that came out, where the producers for CNN basically came on and said, we have no evidence of any Russian collusion, but it's good for the ratings, and we made a lot of money.
Well, the reason that's not even news. Everyone knows this. He's just stating the obvious.
But he's stated to somebody he doesn't know very well, obviously, and it's obvious that you just make stuff up, and hence the fake news.
Hence is Trump wrong? Firing of the three guys and the retraction. I mean, it's just...
Say whatever we want.
I think you and I both said that we don't really like the tweeting, but I will tell you that the people that think that Donald Trump does not have some method to his madness...
Sure does.
Watch what he has done to CNN. Because they're like Pavlov's dogs. He tweets out something, and they immediately rush to further immolate their credibility.
Well, hence we did a popularity poll, and who's trusted more? CNN is trusted more by 7 points.
Yes, explain this. Explain this.
So 50-43% CNN says, we're more trusted than Donald Trump. 43% is about where he is on the national ranking right now. 7% better than the guy you hate who said he's awful.
7% better than the president in a deeply divided country. So we would normally expect about half of the electorate, and of course in this case, since Donald Trump has elicited mass hysteria, not to like him. And you're an independent news organization, and you think it's good that you're only running 7 percentage points ahead of Donald Trump?
Here's what I would say. Your numbers alone say 50% of the people don't trust you. Your own numbers. Forget what the president... 50% of the country that you polled do not trust you. You got to look in the mirror hard about that one, really. Because if you're putting out that stuff and half the people... Now, half the people in the country voted for Hillary Clinton. So it's not really surprising that half the people trust CNN and half don't.
And you've got an entire news organization that's constantly making fun of and mocking and criticizing Donald Trump for being so thin-skinned and petulant. And can you believe that he... And so what do? You turn around after he sends out a tweet that makes fun of you, and you hunt down the person that has so rudely mocked CNN.
Oh, it's just awful. It's just awful. It's just awful. I can't believe it.
The lack of self... And again, he's driven them around the bend to the point where... And by the way, you know, in the aftermath of the three firings and the retraction, this stuff didn't just go out by some guy in the mailroom who decided to do this, right?
This was top level.
This was vetted up the chain of command. They said, that's right. You sick the Dobermans on the 16-year-old in his basement who did this to us. This shall not stand.
I don't know what their thought process is, but apparently they're not thinking too far into this. It just amazes me. Now, you wanted to talk about a sensitive subject, and I just want to talk about this. You know, in this country, we are divided. Half of us are men, and half of us are women.
Well, that's making some certain assumptions about...
biologically, half of us are men and half of us are women. There might be some out there who feel that biologically doesn't matter, but at this podcast, at this news organization, we're not a news organization, entertainment. We do believe you are male or female. There are only two options. You can come up with any other option you want to call yourself, but you're still male or female. Anyway, to get to the point, John McEnroe, known for his level-headed, constant, even-keeled personality, made a comment last week. It was an interview, right? I believe it was an interview.
Yes, with NPR, I believe, at first.
Now, he's a tennis commentator, famous tennis player, was asked a question about Serena Williams, the probably the most talented female tennis player of all time.
Serena Williams has won 22 Grand Slam titles. That ties her, or actually, did she break it? She's 23
now. I believe she has more than
23. She's 23, so she broke the tie with Steffi Graf. Mm-hmm. And I think the only other woman in history who had more was Margaret Court. But that was in an era when there was, I think, mixing professional
playing.
And amateur. Yeah. So basically, Serena Williams, for all intents and purposes, you can make an argument. I still think Steffi Graf is better. But nevertheless, if not the greatest, one of the two.
She also got many doubles titles with her sister.
Right, so she's
yeah.
clearly.
Very good tennis
there's
player.
There's a very compelling argument that she's the greatest female tennis player in history.
Yeah. So John McEnroe asked the question, you know, where does she rank? And he said she's probably the best female tennis player of all time.
Oh, he said definitely the best.
Definitely. And he's been an advocate. He thinks she's a good, great player. Asked. On the men's side, he goes, well, she'd be ranked 700th. I believe that was the number, right?
Yeah.
I think that's a little low, but it is low.
I'm not sure.
But he's taking a lot of grief, and she's saying, stay in your lane, get out of my business, don't talk.
No. Okay, and yes. And here's the thing. We have to back up. If you listen to this NPR interview, John McEnroe was effusive in his praise. It was about Serena Williams and
right.
her talent and her athletic ability, and she's like no one we've ever seen before, and clearly the best player in women's tennis history. And this interviewer just would not be satisfied. Not sufficient praise. And so they kept goading him. Well, but why the limitation on just women? And so finally McEnroe giving them the you cannot be serious kind of look. Well, because she's not a man, and if she played on the men's tour, she'd be about the 700th best player in the world, which is about the most uncontroversial, obvious statement, and this, of course, elicits mass outrage. Mm. How could you possibly say that? And then he goes on Good Morning America with those useful idiots, and they continue to press him on this and say, are you prepared to apologize for your heinous remarks?
No, I am not.
Fortunately, John has some stones and says, no, not really. What do I have to apologize for?
It's true. It's
the
true.
World, these people have gone insane.
Oh, it is.
And by your statement about, oh, it might be low, I don't think it's low. The disparity, okay, do we really need to revisit this again?
Well, let me say, I think 700 is just a number he threw out. I don't think that's a real, one, I don't think it'll rank that far down. But two, I think she's better than 699 other people, not all of them, but somewhere higher than that to me. I don't think she's in the top 100 for sure.
She's, Chad, I'm telling you right now. And see, here's the thing. This is what's so unfortunate about the identity police, their incessant need to do this, because what it winds up doing is it forces you now, we should be able to celebrate Serena Williams as a female, as an historically great athlete, as the best who has ever played her sport. And instead, these people, because of their incessant need to play these kind of games where they somehow pretend there's no difference between the sexes, we're now forced to make some very readily apparent observations. There is no female in the world competing at a professional level, pick your sport, pick your Olympic event, who is even within the same universe of ability as a male counterpart. Now, does that mean Serena Williams can't beat 99% of the men who play tennis in the world? No, she could. We're not talking about that. I don't think Serena Williams can beat a top Division I male tennis player. Why? Because men at that level are faster and stronger and hit the ball harder. Serena serves probably, I don't know, 120 miles an hour at her peak, which is astonishing mm-hmm. for women's tennis. She is the best serve in tennis history. A man serving at 120 miles an hour is like Mr. Magoo. You might as well be serving it underhand. People like John Isner, who they serve 160 miles an hour. So there is simply no comparison. And for people to actually act as if this is some astonishingly ridiculous thing for McEnroe to have said just demonstrates how far gone these people are. I'm imagining that the same conversation would be had about, let's see, Cheryl Miller. Right? Does everyone know who Cheryl Miller is?
Mm-hmm.
Probably, arguably, now there's Diana Taurasi, there's some current players. Cheryl Miller, by acclamation, probably the greatest female basketball player ever.
Mm-hmm.
if are they going to get Reggie Miller on NPR and say, now, Reggie, why would you qualify that? Isn't Cheryl Miller, why is it limited to women? Pick your sport. There is simply no comparison, and that should be no reflection on her. She has done everything that she can. She's deserving of every accolade she's gotten. Here's the final thing, Chad. Why don't the women play on the men's tour?
Well, didn't Jennifer Capriati try?
Serena actually tried.
Yeah.
And played some exhibition against, like, the number 200 player in the world. And I think he beat her in one set, 6-1.
Yeah.
There is no comparison. And sane people recognize this and don't feel the need to constantly pretend that by using magic words we can somehow alter reality.
Well, there's this feeling of equality, and I hear this constantly. We want to be equal. You're not taking me seriously because we're not equal. And the reality is, women, I'm sorry, you don't want equality. You don't want equality because men die of heart disease sooner. Men die younger. Men have other issues. You don't want equality. You want superiority. You want to say I'm better than a man. That's what I believe. I don't think you ever want to say I'm as good as a man. You want to be better than a man. Because that somehow makes you something. I don't know.
When you say women, it's these agitators.
Right.
These cultural, arsonists, these people that constantly want to bring this stuff up and deny the obvious. And again, it's a shame because John McEnroe basically spent 5 minutes heaping praise on Serena Williams and gets pilloried after he's forced to say, what, you really want me to compare her to a man? Well, she's not as good. And she's not even close to being as good.
Yeah.
And that's not controversial in the least.
So there's a lot of people out there who will say, they'll point to the Billie Jean King, Bobby Riggs tennis match from when Bobby Riggs was 59, 60, something like that. Billie Jean King was still playing. I think she was still on the tour. And she barely beat him in four or five sets.
I don't think that helps their argument.
No, but they'll point to that and say, well, the woman won. Okay, but being a man who's in his 60s who is smoking a cigar sets is not
really bolstering your position.
No, and it's ludicrous to even consider. We both have daughters. You have two sons, but you have a daughter. They're not competing on the same level because they cannot. It's not physically possible, and that's okay to me.
Yes.
I'm fine with that. If you want to watch women's sports, you can watch women's sports. You want to watch men's sports, you can watch men's sports. They are not equal because they cannot be equal. You used Cheryl Miller. The WNBA versus the NBA. Are we serious? Are you seriously saying that anybody in the WNBA could even make a roster in the NBA?
Make a roster?
Couldn't even get to training camp.
They couldn't make a roster of any Division I college team.
Fair enough. Fair enough. You look at Division I college teams, these are 18-year-old men most of the time on a lot of these Division I top programs, and I don't care how old you are as a female, you are not making that team. I agree with that.
Completely. And again, this is not, this is sexism. No, this is actually not being in a persistent vegetative state and being able to look at the world and say, this is the way things are. And there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
Annika Sorenstam, the greatest female golfer ever, she actually played in a men's tournament. Uh-huh. I believe it was the Colonial.
Yep.
Okay. Did she make the cut? No, she didn't make the cut, but she didn't embarrass herself. She actually played pretty well.
Pretty good, yeah.
Her chance of competing, and she'd be the first one to say this, she's not one of the top 1,000 male golfers in the world.
They're just
why? Aren't. She can't hit the ball as far. She's not as powerful. She's hitting 3 woods into greens that men are hitting 7 irons and 8 irons into.
Yes.
The physical differences are insurmountable.
Mm-hmm.
Does that prevent us from admiring Annika Sorenstam? Does that prevent us from saying she is one of the great athletes we've ever seen?
Nope.
She's the best in her sport. Why can't we leave it at that? Why must we then press? Well, why limit it to? Isn't she just as good as the men?
No. Well, I want to stipulate here. Annika Sorenstam would wipe the course with me. But no question.
You're not the relevant comparison.
Right, I agree. But I think that's where they come up and say, well, she would beat men.
They even asked McEnroe.
She would beat me.
They asked McEnroe, well, could you beat her? And McEnroe said, I'm 60 years old.
Probably not. Probably not. At 30, I'll bet he could have.
I bet at 50, probably could have.
Maybe at 50. But I think that's the reality. There are finely tuned athletes, and they will beat some people. But, if you're winning your beer softball league You're not playing in the majors. I'm sorry. It's not the same thing. You can't expect
it to be. You go down the
list.
Take Katie Ledecky.
Yeah.
Katie Ledecky, right now, if you don't know who she is, she's an Olympic swimmer for the U.S., is astonishingly dominant.
Mm-hmm.
Probably, Michael Phelps has said this, the most dominant swimmer in the world. She would win her races by an entire length of the pool at the Olympics.
Yeah, watch last year. She was doing it.
Katie Ledecky has no chance swimming against men. And why should we care? She doesn't need to swim against men.
No.
She's a woman.
Yeah.
She competes against other women, and she demolishes them.
Yeah.
That should be good enough, shouldn't it?
It should be for anybody who's watching sports and appreciates athletic competition, yes. It should be good enough. It boggles the mind how that's even... And it's not a sexist statement. You're right. It's not a sexist statement to say that. It's simply reality. And reality is the best women are not as good as an average man at a certain sports. They're just not. If you put a woman on a baseball field, do you think a woman can compete against a single-A men's baseball team?
There might be, okay, let's put it this way. There might be some incredibly rare woman out there who is a singular talent that might be able to be a marginal player at a single-A baseball level. Maybe.
Well, but, use Tim Tebow as an example.
Yeah.
He's a marginal baseball player. He got promoted to high single A, and there's talk they might promote him to the majors. I'm sure it's for money, obviously, but it's not for his ability. He may never get past single A. He may make the double A, but he's never going to make the majors on his own ability.
Wasn't he in double A now? I think they moved him up.
High single A.
Oh, high single A?
But to an owned affiliate, that's why.
Okay.
I think he's probably better than any female you could trot out there, and he's not that good. Comparatively.
Oh, sure, at that level. No.
Yeah.
Right. Now, this is a guy. Freak athlete,
definitely.
Heisman Trophy winner, 6'3", 250.
Probably, yeah.
Played a very good baseball prospect in high school. Now, he hasn't played, I think, for 12 years.
Yeah.
But Tim Tebow, struggling mightily, is never going to be a Major League Baseball player. I root him on.
Not of his own right. I mean, he might get deferred.
But we're supposed to believe, for instance, that, let's say, Jenny Finch. You know Jenny Finch is?
Mm-hmm.
Tremendous pitcher. I think the lady who now broadcasts for ESPN in their booth, arguably, most people think, I forget what her name is, that she was the best female softball player ever. Does she have a hope of playing at a single A level? No. And she'd be probably the first one to say so.
Yeah.
Why do we have to pretend that these things aren't true?
They don't. I guess it makes them feel better to think there's a chance, so therefore they say it. And they get people in trouble because you state the obvious. And they don't want to hear the obvious. They want to hear you say, oh, yeah, Serena Williams. Because that would have been the headline. John McEnroe thinks Serena Williams would beat male competitors. She should join the male tour. No.
Well, and fortunately, John McEnroe is a guy who's cantankerous enough that has enough self-dignity to say, what are you, nuts? I'm not apologizing for this.
No, you're insane.
The emperor has no clothes on.
Yeah, get out of my face. Just stop letting me go. We'll see. If this dies down, I think it has died down a little bit because John McEnroe is old.
Oh,
Serena Williams is not playing right now.
There'll be some new outrage du jour tomorrow.
There always is. There always is. And you can appreciate women's sports for what they are and watch them or not watch them. Men's sports the same way. We have listeners who really don't care about the sports. That's fine. Some who do. You watch what you like and watch what you don't like. And if you like to watch the WNBA, that's your fault.
Well, that's you and the seven other people that watch. That's all of your fault.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how many teams there are, but I'm sure there's, I mean, all their parents watch anyway.
Yes.
Leave it at that.
And that's why the NBA subsidizes that league to the tune of, I don't know, $50 million.
Way too much money
for that's a discussion for another day.
Yeah, no kidding. Anything else you'd like to add tonight, Tony?
We have done more than our fair share, Chad.
I think the damage has been done, and we cannot change it, so we are
stuck with that. Also wear the itchy hair shirt to bed for getting my geography question wrong.
It's okay. It's okay. You didn't know Louisiana was on the Gulf Coast. You thought it was on the Mexican coast. It's fine.
I did.
It's okay. It borders Texas, which is on the Mexican
coast. I know. I got one.
Border.
I got it. It was one state removed.
Yeah.
I should have gotten half credit.
You got Vermont. I'm surprised.
No, that was an easier one.
I'll bet a lot of people miss Vermont, you know, or the number of amendments.
No.
I'll bet you there's more people out there than you think. Now, if you know those 10 questions, you're going for your citizenship test, and you don't get those 10 right, shame on you. We've given them the answers. We've told you what the answers are. Shame on you. Leave it at that. Itchy hair shirt, notwithstanding. You're good.
I'll report back next week.
Oh, phone in line, 717-739-5432. 717-739-5432. You can call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It will not ring my phone, so do not worry. That is a voicemail line only.
Please call in with a cogent argument that Serena Williams is one of the top 500 tennis players in the world.
Or that LeBron is not.
We've already covered that.
Yeah. I just wanted to throw that out there because, you know, he lost and whatever. see if anybody responds to that somewhere. Okay. Thank you for joining us.
You just have to stick the shiv in at the end. That's very mean.
3-5. Thanks for joining us. I'm Chad.
You better hope the Steelers have a good season. I'm telling you.
I'm sure they won't. That'll be okay. I'm Chad.
I already said I'm Tony.
Good night.
This has been a Hannah Tree production.